This is a replay of the Raleigh James Show on Tuesday night, March 28th on WGN Radio. We started around 11, right after the game. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have a couple hours to spend together, and if it's on your mind, it's on mine, and if you don't call, I've got the tabloids. That's right. You can take that as a threat if you like, but expiring minds want to know. That's right. New issues of, let's see here, The Star. I saw that at, you know, it's slime from the checkout line for a reason. I saw that at the checkout line at Safeway and said, ah, Kate and Williams blowout fights. I can't resist that. And conspiracy of silence in the Inquirer, Epstein murder cover-up exposed. All right, so plenty of things to discuss. And next hour, if he calls, we'll discuss the Earth's atmospheric layers with Frank, who wanted to know about that. And we can argue whether the ionosphere is part of the thermosphere or a layer into itself. In any way, yes, it's going to be an exciting night, as you can tell. So 888-876-5593. And I got your requests as well. So here we are, Tuesday, March 28th. And tomorrow night, as far as I know, it's a full show. And then Thursday night, right after Blackhawks hockey, I expect it'll be around the same time. But RIP Ray Pillow. And if you're saying to yourself, who is he? Well, 18 Billboard chart country singles and a duet with Gene Shepherd that went number 9, and it was so typically country. I'll take the dog. Ray Pillow and Larry McFadden founded Sycamore Records, and he also was an A&R rep with Capitol for a while and died in Nashville, 85 years old. Yeah, Ray Pillow. And he really, for the most part, was the era before country politan, if you will, you know, in the latter 60s, when country really took its first real departure from what it had been. Ray Pillow was more of the, well, like Gene Shepherd, of the old guard. So what else do we have? We have a big happy birthday, the waning moments of it, to Johnny D in Youngstown. He's 71. And after midnight, we say happy birthday to Mark in Aurora, who's 65. Annette in Chicago is also celebrating a birthday this week. So happy to everybody. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And I was looking for bumpers to play tonight, in addition to your requests, which we will absolutely get to. But I noticed that Marvin Gaye would have turned 84 Sunday, and I thought to myself, man, well, we got to play something by the Marquees. Of course, if you look at the label, it says the moon glows, but not. So we'll talk about that as well, coming up right here on WGN Radio.
I'll always love you, darling, 12 months of the year, even when the snows fall, our love will be clear.
January.
We'll drink a toast to Auld Lang Syne.
February.
On Valentine's Day. Please say you'll be mine. And in a
whoa,
you know the wind's gonna blow. through the air. Beautiful flowers blooming everywhere. But in a June, you're gonna be my bride, and I'll be your groom.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, if you look at the label, it says it's the Moon Glows, and I guess legally it is. 12 months of the year, 1959 on Chess, but if you really want to know, it's Marvin Gaye and the Marquees. And the Moon Glows, we talk often about the Drifters, how they were two completely separate groups because George Treadwell owned the name, and when he got upset at the first group of Drifters, he just disbanded them and got Benny King's Five Kings, and hence New Drifters. But that said, the same thing happened with the Moon Glows in a roundabout way. The ownership of the name belonged to one Harvey Fuqua. And he disbanded them. And in 1959, he picked up another group. And it's interesting, the other group was the Marquees. And Marvin Gaye was born in D.C., went to high school there, in fact, dropped out of high school in the 11th grade. It was an interesting story because he dropped out of high school to join the service. And he quickly was eliminated. Now, they gave him an honorable discharge, but but it says right on it as far as reason for why. Marvin Gaye cannot adjust to regimentation and authority. Well, so be it. Honorable it was, and back in D.C. he was, 18 years old, 1957, and he thought, well, come hell or high water, I'm going to make it as a pop singer. So he reunited with a high school chum and joined the Marquees. And Bo Diddley, actually, was the impetus there. He produced and recorded them. And, of course, nothing, absolutely nothing came of it. And that was on OK in New York. But just as the Marquees were disbanding, Harvey Fuqua stepped into the picture and convinced them, maybe not so quick. And so, of course, Fuqua had formed the Moon Glows, as you know, and they had Sincerely and Ten Commandments of Love. And bottom line is a lot of them wanted to go in a lot of directions. So in 1958, he got rid of them and signed the Marquees, rechristening them Harvey and the Moon Glows. And Fuqua recorded them singing, well, Marvin Gaye, you just heard it, 12 months of the year. And Mama Lucci, which I wouldn't play if you paid me to. But the flip side, Unemployment, is a great little record. In any event, it was a pretty good deal for Marvin Gaye. He moved to Chicago from Washington, D.C., and while he was with the Moon Glows, he winds up in Detroit with the group, and of course, you know, he runs into Berry Gordy, and you know the rest of that story. And that was actually just the start of the 60s. Marvin had just turned 21, and that's when, by the way, he added the E to his name. It was G-A-Y originally, and put the E at the end of his name, and ultimately started out as a, you know, I think he was a session drummer originally and a backup singer, and ultimately, of course, you know, married into the family, and the rest is history. But 12 months of the year was a fine song all the way around. So 888-876-5593, 888-88 Raleigh. We joke about it around here. We don't know what it is about Tuesday nights, but the call volume is low, so consequently I prepare with absolutely useless information. That's right, a ton of it, which means, that's right, slime from the checkout line. The tabloids are here. This week's issue of the National Enquirer. You can interrupt the show as the mood might strike you. 888-876-5593. Otherwise, we'll get to this Epstein murder cover-up exposed. And we'll see who's involved with that. And we have Beyoncé's marriage hanging by a thread. William Shatner obsessed with death. And, well, you know, he's another one of those. Is he or isn't he? I can't tell you how many times I've thought he's no longer with us. And I guess I can be excused since he's 92 years old, but he is apparently still casting a shadow on God's terra firma. So what else do we have here? Money war tearing Elvis's family apart. Well, is it money or is it something else? Yeah, and this is between Riley, who is Lisa Marie's child and the rightful, I guess, trustee of the money that was left, and Priscilla, who is saying, no, it should be me. And it's interesting, there was a big rift between Priscilla and Lisa Marie because Priscilla got together with Michael Lockwood, who is, of course, Lisa Marie's ex-husband, and that was a very bitter divorce. And it literally was less about love and more about $500 million in estate money. And that is a deal. Lockwood, of course, as far as that goes, wound up divorced, but that doesn't stop him. He's involved with Priscilla. And now Riley, however, who, in terms of the will, is the trustee. And so that's the deal. So, yeah, strange bedfellows, because Michael and Priscilla had their own rifts in the past. But now you've got Riley, who's asserting her dominance, even changing the locks on Elvis's family mansion so Priscilla can't get in. I think legally it is Riley Kehoe who gets the nod on this. I think that what they would have to do to change that is somehow claim that Lisa Marie didn't know what she was doing at the time she made changes to the will. And at the time she did, by the way, her son Benjamin was still alive. He died, committed suicide in 2020. But nonetheless, there was nobody saying that Lisa was out of her mind. And so it is that Priscilla, by the way, you're saying, well, what does she care? She was making $900,000 a year as a trustee. Yeah, so she's seeking to have the will invalidated. She's saying things like, well, my daughter's signature was forged. Well, it's gonna be interesting. The bottom line is that Riley doesn't believe that Priscilla or Lockwood could be trusted with the estate. And Lisa was at constant war with Michael, even after their divorce ended, and she was barely speaking to Priscilla. And Riley firmly believes that her mother didn't want either of them involved. And so it is that this will be a court case for many years to come. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, that's the big story. Then what else do we have? The Duchess. Yes, Meghan. Meghan goes after Gwyneth Paltrow. Well, there is an unlikely duo, but apparently Meghan wants to crown herself as the ultimate lifestyle queen with her relaunch of her blog, The Tig. And so she's gunning for Gwyneth, Hollywood's biggest businesswoman. I'm not sure about that, but that's what the tabloids, The Inquirer, has decided to call her. So apparently Meghan previously looked up to Gwyneth for how she built her online empire. But now she feels, of course, she can do better, and so there's a cat fight to be had there, and that's the deal. Now, of course, when Meghan got engaged to Harry, she initially had to stop her online presence because the royal family didn't approve. But now, of course, that they are no longer part of the royal family, they're chasing after every dollar they can get. And so it is that Meghan is raring to revive her blog and fill it with articles about food, cooking, recipes, travel, relationships, fashion, style, interior design, lifestyle, the arts, cultural design, conscious living, health, and wellness. Yeah. And and who's going to read that? I can't imagine. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and I've been saved until you saved. I have to find my magic twanger here because as far as the laptop that lost its screen, well, it's now lost its screen entirely. So I am sharing a screen with sharing a monitor with two computers, and then I've got another two computers. And so I've got a number of magic twangers, but I think that this one will work, and we can welcome Johnny and Austin. How's it going, Johnny?
Well, hello. It's been a busy day.
Yeah,
how about yourself?
Oh, you know, they're all busy. And you know, I have not gotten to your email yet because, of course, I don't have a screen to see it. But now that I've figured out how to do this, I will be able to read it.
Oh, okay. That's cool. No hurry. I was listening to this little radio station out of Arizona that I check out from time to time, and I heard a song. I've been hearing a lot of good songs on there, but there's a group. I'd always heard their name, and I heard the Ravens with a song called Green Eye.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Ricks and the Ravens, of course. That's a huge beach music hit.
Well, tell me about the Ravens, because I was interested, so I ordered. There's a label called Acrobat out of the UK, and they put a lot of stuff out there, and I got a four CD set of them today, and I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but it says The Ravens Collection, 1946 through 59, but I really know nothing about them. Would you consider them like in there with the Ink Spots or the Mills Brothers or that kind of thing, or not?
I would say they kind of bridged between that and doo-wop. They were formed in 46, so if you got from 46 on, you got the beginning of it. It was Jimmy Ricks and Warren Suttles, and they were very influential. And of course, when you hear Green Eyes and you hear Jimmy Ricks's voice, obviously it's pretty amazing. And he was born in Georgia, but he moved to Jacksonville and then to New York City. And in fact, he was a waiter in Harlem, and that's where he met Warren Suttles, who was from Alabama, and they said, oh, you know, we could do this. And so they recruited a couple other folks who had won a talent contest at the Apollo and found a manager and made their first recordings for Hub, which was Howard Briggs' little unknown label. And they called themselves the Ravens. And in some ways, this is arguable, but in some ways, they initiated the trend for the bird groups. And, of course, the Orioles, the Crows, the Larks, the Robins, the Penguins, and on. But the Ravens may have been first. And, yes, you can hear the influence of the Ink Spots. Also, Delta Rhythm Boys and Mills Brothers. But I'd say Delta Rhythm Boys probably more than anybody in a lot of ways. And just really neat. And, you know, they went through, like all these groups, a lot of member changes. And they left Hub, and then they were on National, which had a little bit of distribution. They, you know, they made it to the Billboard Race Records chart. And
I'm looking at the R&B book right now, and I see their last charted song was on Mercury in 52.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're looking at big hits, you got, other than Green Eyes, Count Every Star was big in 1950. Arguably, Old Man River on National might have charted. You would know. You're looking at it. I'm not. They ultimately went to OK in 1950, and then they went to Mercury in 51, and there were other group changes and all of that. Then in 53, they went to Jubilee, and that's about the time that their sound was starting to be considered to be dated. And so Jimmy Ricks left and tried a solo career, and Warren Suttles left, and I think Joe Van Loan, who had come in, and that name you might know. And so Jimmy Ricks tried and never had a hit. He tried on Atlantic. Of course, did some duos with Laverne Baker. I mean, you gotta love You're the Boss. Well, that's Jimmy Ricks and Laverne Baker.
I'm looking them up. I'm looking the Ravens up now on the old Pop Memories book from 1890 through 54, and all they have is one charted song from 47 called Write Me a Letter.
Yes, absolutely. Write Me a Letter. And then, like I say, a year later was probably the big one. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And we will pick it up right there with more Jimmy Ricks and more of your calls coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, when it comes to bopping and natural finger popping, baby, you sure do swing.
And when it comes to bopping and a natural finger popping, daddy, you are the king.
Baby, you've got me beat up and down, inside out and across. Ooh, yeah.
But in the middle of the night, when the moon is shining bright, you're the boss. Talking about
talking about dancing and down home romancing, baby, you are the queen.
Man, when push comes to shove, when it comes down to love, you're a horse.
But in the middle of the night, when the moon is shining bright, you're the boss.
You're the best of everything.
You're a plum.
And you're a diamond.
You're a pearl.
You're the best of everything.
And baby, you my girl. When it comes to knowing which way the wind is blowing, baby, you sure are wise.
And when it comes to knowing which way the wind is blowing, daddy, you get the prize.
Baby, you're a genius when it comes to cooking up some chili sauce.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, I think that's Jimmy Ricks at his finest with Laverne Baker in 1961. How that didn't chart, I don't know. It was an Atlantic. Lieber and Stoller wrote it, and of course, she charted that year with Lieber and Stoller Saved, but I just thought that was a wonderful song, speaking of Jimmy Ricks, and so we're back talking to Johnny.
Actually, I never heard that before.
You're kidding.
I thought I had, but I haven't. Yeah, I'm in my book now, and Saved, of course, I know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Tiny Tim was good, too.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I don't know why it didn't chart. It's a big beach music record.
Really?
Yeah, but of course.
And that was an Atlantic.
Yeah, 1961. Like I say, Lieber and Stoller wrote it, and it came out around the time of Saved.
I heard a song, and I barely got to my radio in time to see the display. It was by Johnny Woodson and somebody.
Oh.
And it was called Dreamer from Something.
Yes, Dreamer from My Heart. I love that song.
Well, so did I. I just barely got to the radio in time to write part of it down. Dreamer from what?
From My Heart.
Okay.
Joe Woodson and group actually is who it is. But it was a great, great record. And for people who don't remember it, yeah, I'm always willing to play a little of Dreamer from My Heart. It was a great song, I thought.
When you're close to me, I'm in ecstasy. Since our meeting day, I have felt this way. It's the fool in me. I'm a dreamer from my heart.
Yeah, it's a fine, fine song.
Wow. And what year was that?
Oh, hell, I don't know. It's something I had on an old 45. And, you know, it was out a couple times because I've seen it as Johnny Woodson and I've seen it as Joe Woodson. I have it as Joe Woodson and group. And, you know, I can't. They always used to do that, you know, like Carol Blades and group. I have no idea who these groups were.
Wow, I don't see it listed at all.
Well,
I don't see any Woodson.
Yeah, Woodson, Woodson, that's for sure. And I'm not sure that anybody else ever played it, but I played it. I loved that song.
Well, you got songs that just amaze me sometimes because I have to jump over to my radio and look at the title to see what it is and write it down.
Right, yeah, I know. It's absolutely useless information.
Switching musical styles here for a minute, you sort of like some of the Sergio Mendes stuff, don't you?
Oh, the early stuff. As far as after Brazil 66, the only album I thought was worth a damn was Equinox, and I think that was one of the best albums ever. But the early Sergio Mendes, when they were a trio, and when they re-released it as Brazil 65, and of course when he was when he was with Bossa Rio, absolutely.
I'm sure you're familiar with a song they did called Masquerade.
Yeah.
It's not the George Benson.
No, it's not the George Benson, is right. Yeah. So, yes.
I really liked that song. I finally got a copy of it, but I don't think it ever charted, but it was really pretty nice.
No, it's on a bunch of the CDs that are out now. They're releasing a lot of the old stuff, and so you can find that pretty easily.
Oh, I found it. I found it.
Yeah.
But apparently it was never a single. And another group that I'm a real favorite of is, and I know very little about a lot of their songs, although I like many of them, is Frankie Beverly and Maid.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Love is the Key was one of my favorites, and I think that was a live song.
It might have been. Or certainly made to appear to be live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Golden Time of Day was probably one of my very favorites.
But he was a Philadelphia guy, Howard Beverly. I think he changed his name to Frankie because of Frankie Lyman.
Oh.
And he was in the Silhouettes. And then with Get a Job, I don't know if he sung on that or not, but then he was in the Blenders, and then, of course, the Butlers, and there were a lot of local Frankie Beverly and the Butlers records out in Philly, and he was on Guiden and Gamble, and I think Fairmount was the other one, like Fairmount Park. And then he, in 1970, started Raw Soul, which was a band that he was doing. And I think that that's really what broke him wide open, because a girl who was the fiance of Marvin Gaye at the time, Janice, I forget her last name, but anyway, Janice saw them and told Marvin about them, and he wound up putting them on his tour and all that. So Mays got on Capitol, and you know the rest.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of their stuff, and like I said, most of it's really good. And it seems like one of their biggest songs I never really did actually care for. I think it was called Back in Stride. It's just like, well.
Yeah, you know, as far as that, whether it's a hit or not is rarely whether I'm going to like it, you know. So.
Yeah, well, apparently me too.
Yeah, yeah. But no, he was great, and yeah, the Butlers, you can find some of his stuff there.
Back to Motown real quick. I know you probably have other calls holding. I hope you do.
Actually, I just looked at the screen, and I do. I'm surprised, but yes, I do. How about that? I think it was the tabloids that scared him into calling.
I'll hold that next one until next time, since you don't have a lot of time tonight, and move on to the next call, and we'll talk again.
Well, yes, I have a whole 3-hour show tomorrow night, so call back.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate
Take
it.
Care.
All right,
okay.
Good deal.
Bye.
So 888-876-5593. Yeah, I just looked up at the screen. I do have a full board of calls. Well, thank you. We'll talk to Bob from Willowbrook about 60 Chicago groups, and David in Chicago. Yeah, KGO. Oh, man. And Leah and Marcus Hook. Oh, getting back to Gwyneth Paltrow. Thank you, tabloids. Tom in Covington. Early Ampex recorders? Well, why not? And James on the South Side, who, of course, sent 483 links today alone. All right, so there's one line available for you if you want it, and there's an hour and a half to, well, about an hour and 15 minutes to go right here on WGN Radio. So it has an intro. Great, just what I needed. It was Fran's request in Austin. And apparently we're getting the long version of it. It was sometimes a good guy's, whatever. We'll play it another time. That's right. We'll pick a completely different bumper. I can tell it's coming. All right, maybe some Redbone. We have a first-time caller, Karen, and that's exactly what she wants to talk about. So, Karen, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, hi. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, thanks.
Because my husband was listening to you, and then I started, and I always missed the day that I could call live, but...
Yay.
I have loved Come and Get Your Love since the 70s when it came out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the movie brought it back out, and now they play it on different commercials, and I never knew what happened to that group.
Yeah, Redbone, and they had another record that I always liked, The Witch Queen of New Orleans, which I can play for you.
Oh,
that was
okay.
Pat and Lolly Vegas, and that was probably the late 60s, and they were... Native Americans, but they also were of Mexican descent, and there were several groups like that, and they hit, but there were Steve Bluewater was one who I just absolutely loved, but for whatever reason Pat and Lolly Vegas hit, and they made it in the top five with Come and Get Your Love in 74,
right.
And that was the first Native American band to hit top five ever, and then, like I say, they did Witch Queen of New Orleans and Wovoka and Maggie, a couple other things, but they were from Coalinga, California, and that's by Fresno. That's that's basically farming country, big time, the San Joaquin Valley.
Okay.
And they moved to Los Angeles, and they weren't young when they did this, because they moved to Los Angeles around 1959, and for 10 years they were in clubs singing. In fact, Pat and Lolly Vegas, they won the Coca-Cola championship and for singing, and they got a recording contract, and of course course, absolutely nothing happened. And, you know, they were performing at Zari's on Sunset Boulevard. And they did background. They did session work. I think you can find them on some of the Sonny and Cher records and even maybe on even maybe on an Elvis record. And Redbone is a Cajun term for mixed race. And so since they were both Hispanic and American Indian, they chose Redbone. And that was the deal. And so
I remember seeing them on Soul Train
years
ago.
Yes.
Well, it would have been in the '74.
Sure. Sure.
And it just had such a good beat. I just loved it.
Oh yeah. Well, before that, they were on Shindig a lot in the '60s. They were regular performers there, and
were they? But they weren't called Redbone then.
Well, yeah, they were, but they weren't really
Shindig.
No, they were, but you didn't really know who the hell they were. Is the problem? Like, if you remember Nikki Hokey, PJ Proby. Well, Pat and Lolly Vegas wrote that. And a couple other guys did too, but basically it was their record. And you used to see them on like the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, and I think they did backup for Bobby Gentry on Ode to Billy Joe. So you know, a lot of stuff like that for them. So it's one of those overnight sensations that took them 15 years, and Well, then they, of course, hit with Come and Get Your Love, and that was on the charts for over 24 weeks, so that was, you know, almost half a year there, and you know, they were big in person, and in fact, if you ever saw them, they wore these real get-ups, and they had Leslie rotating speakers, and electric guitars and amps and stuff like that, and I mean, it was really a show, and, you know, that was their deal, and of course, like a lot of people then, they also did things that were politically motivated, whether that helped them or hurt them, I don't know, but you know, it usually isn't very mass appeal, but you know, that but they remained true to their culture, and they you know, they headlined Indigenous People's Day, the first one, and all that kind of stuff, and I think Pat continues to tour. I'm not sure if that's still true, but yeah, that was Redbone, and Witch Queen of New Orleans. I'll play that for you.
Okay, I appreciate that, and you have a great evening, and thank you.
Well, thank you. Call me again.
I will.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. So yeah, I'm happy to play Witch Queen of New Orleans, which I think in many ways is very typical of a lot of the stuff they would do, especially on stage. But Come and Get Your Love was also in movies and TV shows, and I think that it was the intro to a cartoon series that was on Netflix. So there. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Bob is in Willowbrook. What's happening tonight, Bob?
Good evening, Raleigh. I'm just sitting here amazed at your knowledge about Redbone and all these things that I never knew. Fascinating stuff.
Well, sadly, I should have mentioned when I said Pat's still touring, I should have added that the reason Lolly isn't is he died in 2010.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And by the way, I share your affection for early Sergio Mendes.
Oh, yeah, the best. Man, I'll tell you what.
That whole bossa nova stuff. Anyway, the reason I called, I've long been wondering about this. We had a bunch of great groups, 60s groups in Chicago, and two of them, the Buckinghams and the Crying Shames, wound up on Columbia, but originally they were on smaller labels. One of them was on Destination.
And one was on USA, of course.
Okay. And
I loved both of them, and the Cry and Shames I thought were so underrated. I thought Could Be Word Love was one of the best little records ever.
Yes, and the Buckinghams had at least half a dozen records that charted nationally, and I don't think the Cry and Shames had any, and I'm just wondering why.
Could Be War and Love charted, not very high, but it did chart. I even think Greenberg Lichtstein, Charles David Smith and Jones got to like number 97 or something, but I'm trying to think, gosh, this is terrible, I should know his name off the top of my head, and I don't, but the guy who wrote all those Buckingham records, we've had him on before, who was just terrific, and some of those Buckingham Birmingham, things were wonderful. But the Cry and Shames did some great, great things. And like I say, Could Be We're in Love is just the piece de resistance. I think it's a terrific record.
DJs on the various coasts have some sort of rule that while we've got this other Chicago group,
absolutely not. And disc jockeys don't get to choose what they play anyway. It would be music directors and program directors. But it's interesting why something hits and something doesn't. But that was Tom Doody's group, and I've had him on in the past too. And Sugar and Spice by them was a great little record. I mean, there were wonderful things, and of course, you know, Jim Ferris and all that. We Could Be Happy was a cute little song.
Yeah,
these were absolutely wimpy white, you know, bubblegum records, but they were good. And
harmony.
Yes, absolutely. And they tried to do harder things too, you know, Mr. Unreliable or, you know, Hey Joe or whatever. So they were around, and they just never made it big is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
know, but
well,
but yeah, I'll play some of their stuff next hour, because I thought that Could Be We're in Love should have, would have, could have been, and that was from A Scratch in the Hot in the Sky. They did Up on the Roof a copy of that on that album as well, which was really nice.
Yeah, First Train to California.
Oh yeah, that was absolutely, that was on Synthesis, the same album that had Greenberg, Glickstein, Charles David Smith, and Jones. All right. I'll be
okay,
happy to
nice
play
to
you
talk
some
to you.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right.
Bye now.
And we'll pick it up there. Yeah, so Red Bone and Cry and Shame's coming up next hour here on WGN Radio.
She'll put a spell on you.
Mari, Mari, da boo doo vo.
She'll put a spell on you.
Mari, Mari, da boo doo vo.
She's the witch queen of New Orleans. Of New Orleans.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Pat and Molly Vegas, Redbone, and Witch Queen of New Orleans. A fine song all the way around. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And, well, he was the birthday boy until moments ago, but Johnny D. All right, so how'd you celebrate Johnny D?
Yes. Thank you, Raleigh. I've been listening since you opened the show, and I heard you mention your happy birthday. Yesterday was my birthday, 28.
Yeah.
So I just called, huh?
Yeah, so how'd you celebrate?
It was just a quiet celebration. Me and Caesar, down in Caesar's Palace, and we watched a movie, Cool Hand Luke, and then we went for a walk.
Okay.
So it was just two aces, me and Caesar.
Okay.
Be three of a kind any day.
All right.
And, I got about 20 texts today from, you know, people saying happy birthday, you know, family and this and that, you know, cousins, you know.
Yeah.
And, so I had to send them all a thanks, you know, a thumbs up and all that, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it was a quiet day. You know, I had a couple of beers. And that's Cedar had a couple of bowls of water. You know.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, yeah, I heard you say that. And I was thinking, you know, since I'm a forgiving kind of guy and I got broad shoulders, I can handle it. I want to, you know, I can handle criticism. I just wanted to be the first to wish Mark, the music critic.
Uh-huh. You know?
The guy Mark from Aurora.
Yeah.
Say that. Aurora. Anyway, I want to show that I'm a forgiving kind of guy and that I can take it.
Uh-huh.
Wish him a happy birthday and his music criticism.
Yes. Very good.
Now, I got a song request for all he
did. Uh-oh.
I was listening to a little bit of music earlier today, too, and I heard a song I haven't heard for so long. And, man, I used to love this song. Donny Hathaway singing this song for you.
Okay. Writing it down.
Yeah, Donny Hathaway singing this song for you. Man, mm-hmm. It came on, I thought, because I was in that genre, you know.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
So, I'd appreciate you playing that. And I don't mean to be a nuisance. I just wanted to call and thank you for, you know, remembering my birthday.
Absolutely. Always good to hear from you.
What I'm doing, I decided I'm going to do things backwards now.
Oh, yeah?
Right?
Oh, yeah?
Instead of 71, I'm 17 again.
I like it. I like it.
I'm turning things back. Next year, I'll be 27.
Wow. Wow.
You know. So all I said, I'm just going backwards, that's all.
Works for me.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
Glad you called. Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so a happy birthday. That was Johnny D and Caesar, the dynamic duo there. And, yeah, and of course it is Mark's birthday now. And so, depending on how long of tooth you may be, birthdays are something to remember and maybe something to forget. I don't know how you want to think about that. However... David is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley. Good evening to you. How are you? How are you tonight?
Well, I've kind of gotten over the fact that KGO doesn't show in the ratings.
Well, you know, and that's the reason I'm calling back is to just update a little bit. We'll still stick by that. But you had asked, and I did a little research for you, and to find out exactly how many people are listening to KGO, and would you like to know the pathetic number that I found?
Now, are we talking about QM here?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so QM, and of course, this is a Nielsen estimate, emphasis on estimate. So
estimate, okay,
yeah,
it's
this
an estimate, and we'll.
All right,
we'll first tell you that KCBS has around 681,000.
And
okay?
what that means for QM, for people who don't know, that means 681,000 people hear them at least once a week for 5 minutes.
Right. Okay. So that's good. So take a guess where KGO is.
Well, do they have QMs down at 3,000? No, I don't know what.
Oh, they do. But no, they came in at 23,500.
Okay, and that doesn't equate to any quarter hour number, I take it, whatsoever.
Apparently not enough to count, no.
All right.
That was, I wanted to at least give you that, because they did at least have that, you know, minuscule number, but how the mighty have fallen, you know, it's just, that takes me to my next topic, or to parallel topic, and that would be, and this kind of happened during the time that John was, and you and John were off the air, and I wondered if this had passed your news file or not, but did you see what, and we're on the AM radio kick here tonight, Odyssey did with
K-Dawn, K-Dawn, oh God, breaks my heart, and this has been going on a long time. The first time that I just got hit upside the head with this was around 1985 when Jefferson Pilot gave WBIG's license back to the FCC in Greensboro because it made more money to sell the land, and so I've now been dealing with this almost 40 years, and through a lot of therapy, I'm getting used to it, but I was just, let's go back a moment at this. A wonderful QM, 23,500 people heard KGO. Now, that may sound like a lot, but there are 4.62 million people in the San Francisco metro. So,
and that's kind of the reason, Wally, why they don't show in the ratings.
Well, yeah.
There's nobody listening.
Yeah, well, you know, when your cum is less than the statistical margin of error, you're in trouble.
I would say, well, and yeah, so I saw that. I wanted to follow up because we'd left that kind of that little piece hanging. And then I didn't know if you'd seen the Las Vegas thing with Kate, Kate on.
You know, in a way, I guess I'm almost glad because, of course, Kate on couldn't have existed if it weren't for the breakup of the Clear Channels that started really in the late 70s and came to fruition within a decade.
Right.
And, of course, that 720, we're talking, of course, WGN's wonderful frequency.
Sure.
So even though it was tremendously directional, it was on a Clear Channel frequency. Now, that said, it was an interesting little radio station because originally it was owned by a guy, not a corporation.
Yeah.
And the guy had the guy had his mistress as general manager. And that's that's the woman who, and they were in the Union Plaza Hotel on the mezzanine in Las Vegas and CD Studios.
Right, I was living in Las Vegas at the time, and I believe that was like the mid 70s, right?
Well, then and then you know exactly where that was. It was the CD part of Las Vegas, and so it was that there it was. So so here's this woman, and this is when Art Bell went and got a job. And at one at one point, this woman made him get on his hands and knees and bark like a dog, and he did it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, gave him the overnight show because who else wanted it type thing. And it fooled everybody because it wound up, you know, being a sensation thanks to the, well, actually, strangely enough, thanks to the guy Roy Masters, who had a religious program, and he was doing his own little syndication and for his religious program. And it was those people who syndicated art.
Yeah, and then the rest is history with Coast to Coast with Art Bell.
Well, it was Coast to Coast. It was absolutely, and it was Roy Masters, and his son Mark was running it, and then later, of course, Premier bought it, but originally it was Roy Masters.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I don't know if you saw this as well, but they not only surrendered that license, but they a second AM license in Las Vegas, and they were both on the same tower.
Yes,
and they sold the land underneath it to Amazon.
Yes, absolutely. And the secondary one really didn't do anything. At first, when I heard the secondary one, I was like, oh my God, it better not be the 840. You know, I mean, my heart couldn't take it, but it wasn't.
Yeah. It wasn't, no. It was actually an old station that I worked with and worked at many, many years ago, and we put it on the air, but 1140.
Right.
And it was, you know, that was the, but it was like a sports betting station by the time its final demise, and
finally
turned off the transmitter.
Yeah, I was going through t-shirts the other day, speaking of Las Vegas, came across a KLAV t-shirt, 1230, and remember when Emperor Bob Hudson was there briefly, so yeah, he gave me the t-shirt. Shirt. So
I remember I was living there, living in Vegas when it was Disco 123.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. That date. One other radio thing, and then I'm gonna let you go. And that is just how far they've fallen, because I know you have some history with this station. But have you looked at the latest ratings for KOA in Denver?
I hope they're terrible. No, who said that?
Do you remember when KOA used to be a very, very successful radio station?
Well, when I was there, we were so number one, there wasn't a number two, is really the truth. I did nights there, and it was double digits, and the first one was never a one.
Well, you know, I would have to keep counting here, and I didn't do it before the call started, so I apologize. But maybe 10th, 15th, they have a 2.3 share. I mean, they probably
deserve every bit of it. Yeah, sadly, by the time I was there, it was existing in spite of itself, and you could see sort of like when I got back to L.A. in 79, I was programming a horrible radio station I won't even mention, but in any event, KABC was still number one, and at the time I said, no, they're not. I said, it's just that news talk takes a few years to die. You're going to see. They're not number one. Of course, they weren't. Well, KOA, and I could feel that in my bones. I was still a real solid number one at night, but I could tell. I said, this radio station, not long term. And part of it was management, unfortunately. It was not well managed. The last good guy they had in there was Jim Hawthorne, and he's long gone from the planet, obviously. Wow. He'd be 100 or something today.
how the mighty have fallen. So how that's it. So I want to make one request, and this is another one off a commercial. And you remember last week we were talking about the duets, and we mm-hmm. talked about Etta James and that.
Yeah.
I heard another one, and I find these songs on commercials, and then I have to like Google them and find them. Mm-hmm. But it's for a Trelegy. I guess it's some type of asthma medication.
Oh,
or
great.
Something like that.
Just great.
Trelegy.
Okay.
Trelegy. And the song is Feeling Good by Nina Simone.
Oh, God. All right.
And you wouldn't think, again, it's like, why did they pick that song for an asthma, COPD medication of some kind?
Because of Feeling Good. That's
because
why.
It's, yeah, you're feeling good. And so she just her voice is just so amazing. And so I thought if you had a chance that anybody okay. that may have heard the Trelegy commercial, they'll go, oh, that's the song. Okay.
All right. I will find that, I promise.
Always a pleasure to talk
all
to
right.
you. You have
likewise.
A great night, and we'll hope
you
to
too.
Talk soon.
I hope so. Thanks for calling. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we've got Leah, and we've got Andrew, and Tom, and James, and plenty of room for you in the waning moments almost. Well, we got about a little more than a half hour, so that's plenty of time to trundle over to the phone, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Didn't it seem right to walk along the sand last night and to gaze out at the night through your just the way things are can be reflected in a star, and you don't stop to think it could be that we're in love. It could be we're in love. To walk along the sand, raise a hand and understand what the world is really like.
Those are Chicago's On Cry and Shame's Tom Booty, and what a wonderful song that was. It only got to number 85 nationally, and I don't know why. Chuck Thagard was the Columbia rep in Miami at the time, and he promoted it as far as that goes. But one of the problems at the majors, and I had encountered this a few years after that, was they would release like 20 records at once, and only three of them would be push records, meaning that the local promo guys only got their spiff, only got their promotion dollars on those three records charting. So the other 17 didn't necessarily get the same push that everything else did. Later, that led to independent promotion and all that. But at the time, all I could think is maybe the Cry and Shames weren't a push record for whatever reason. But I know that that Chuck Thagard, who's now no longer with us, promoted the heck out of it. And I thought it was a great little record. So there. And I mean, Wimpy White by every possible definition, but still just a wonderful little song. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And let's start with Leah and Marcus Hook. Thanks for waiting. How's it going, Leah?
Oh, Raleigh, thank you for waiting taking my call.
Always.
I really appreciate it.
Always. What's happening tonight?
Well, not much. I wanted to comment on that one you brought up, the Priscilla Presley thing.
Yes.
And how she was getting $900,000 a year.
A year. Yeah.
A year.
A year.
But now she's going to keep getting that.
No.
During.
No, you see, she's not a trustee anymore.
So she's not going to keep getting that trial.
I do not believe so, because Elisa Marie's will has Riley as the trustee. It was Riley and her son who commit suicide, so Riley is the trustee. So Lisa is suing, saying that the will was a fraud. And that's pretty tenuous, but I do not believe that she
couldn't have spent.
Yeah, well,
she couldn't have spent all that
money. Yes, you could have. Now, you and I might not have do that easily, but yeah, people like that, sure, they could have.
Really? Yeah,
absolutely. You know, few of...
Because I could live off the interest of that.
Well, I don't know if that's true anymore, since interest is kind of a thing of the past, but yes, there was a time when you absolutely could have.
Yeah. I mean...
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hang on. I'll let you think about that. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there, right here on WGN Radio.
And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Stars, when you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Well, there it is, David's request. And haven't heard the commercial yet, but yeah, it's a little disconnect for me. But 888-876-5593. We're talking to Leah from Marcus Hook there. Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, it's okay. I'll tell you about the commercial. First of all, it's not Nina Simone singing in the commercial.
Oh, who is it?
It's, I don't know, it's some voiceover chick.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, flavor of the month, who got considerably yet less for it. All right.
And they cut a lot of it out. I mean, she doesn't sing the whole song.
Well,
they
of course not. It's a 30-second spot. Yeah.
Right, right. You know, so it certainly doesn't sound like that. But, Nina's my girl, and that's my song. That's the only one I ever request from
you. Yeah, it's a good...
Usually.
Yes, exactly. That's why it's on here, actually. And it's a wonderful song, all that together. But you figure it's a 30-second commercial, and 10 seconds are all about the side effects that will either kill you or make you bark like a dog. So that leaves about 20 seconds of copy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a weird commercial, but there it is.
Yeah, it's a new day, all right.
Well, the other one I wanted to talk to you about was we watched the Court TV coverage of the Gwyneth Paltrow trial last night.
Oh, yes. That's where the guy who she allegedly ran into on the ski slope is suing.
Yeah, well, so he said, she said. But
yes.
I tend to believe her, since she's only countersuing for a dollar.
Well, so it has this.
He's suing for $400,000.
Oh, I know.
He's countersuing for a dollar. So, who do you believe? You know.
Well, I hope.
And they were picking apart. They had body language experts, and they were picking apart both of their testimonies. So that was fascinating. I'm always fascinated by that.
I hope.
And they were pretty much saying that he was lying and she was telling the truth. So
I hope that she's suing for a dollar plus her legal expenses.
No, a dollar.
Well, yeah, but I mean, who will pick up the legal in it?
I don't know.
Well, that could be it.
That was never mentioned.
Yes, exactly. But the loser might have to, you see.
Oh,
so that dollar could be a lot more if that's the case. So we'll see.
I don't know, but
yeah,
I still
who knows?
Tend
so,
to believe her because
I take it
she was more truthful.
It hasn't rested yet, I take it, or has it?
No. No, I don't think it has. I think it was going to continue tonight, but I didn't watch it.
All right. Well, we'll see what the jury does.
Yeah, I don't know, but she seemed more truthful. She did. The way she was telling the story and the way she remembered things was seemed more organic than the way he was trying to remember and the things he was saying, and he kept saying, I really don't want to talk about this. Well, why wouldn't he want to talk about it if it's going to make him $400,000?
Well, and he brought the suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they go on that one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm watching.
Yeah.
And earlier you played a song called something about memories. Do you know what song that was?
Memories?
But you just played it like on the stream, and then I heard you queuing it up, or you played some of it, and then just when it started to get good, you took it off.
I did?
Yeah,
Oh, this is very bad news. I have no idea.
The news was on.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The news was on.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
well,
sorry.
Okay.
I'm not a clue.
Okay, that's okay.
I probably had it on and left the room.
Oh, okay.
Sorry
that's
about
okay.
that. But what I'll do, I'll listen when I edit out the replay, I'll listen to if I played anything during a break, and I'll jot it down if I can find it.
Yeah, it was early in the show.
It wasn't Dreamer. It wasn't. It wasn't Dreamer from My Heart, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Right. Huh?
It was during while the news was on, and then it was early in the show, and you started playing
Oh! Concrete and Clay, My Friends, not the same Concrete and Clay that Unit 4+2 did, but the Concrete and Clay, different record entirely, same title, but the Concrete and Clay that was on Motown, well, actually one of the Motown subsidiary labels, but it was this.
Tried to take them away.
All right, it's by a group called
yes,
My.
It was that.
Yeah, it's called a group called My Friends, and the song is Concrete and Clay, not to be confused with the Unit 4+2 and Eddie Rambo, and it was on one of the Motown subsidiary labels.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it. I don't know why I played it, but
okay.
It yeah, just one of those things. Yeah, yeah. I think I was
okay.
Looking for something completely else, but that's what came out, and it was on Rare Earth, and it was the flip side.
Rare Earth.
Yeah, it was the flip side of I'm an Easy Rider.
Oh.
1971.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that either. So that's what it was. Yes, My Friends.
Well, I do, actually.
Oh, well, then you can go online and probably hear it all you want.
I'm gonna. Thank
yeah,
you.
Well, my pleasure. You just never know. All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay,
bye.
Yeah, well, all right. So, 888-876-5593. We're going to get to some Ionosphere Lair talk next and Frank's request. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
That big eight wheeler rolling down the track means a two loving daddy ain't coming back, cause I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on. That big loud whistle as it blew and blew said hello to the Southland, we're coming to you when we're moving on. Oh, hear my song. You had the laugh on me, so I've set you free and I'm moving on. Final moment. won't you please listen to me, cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. So shovel the coal, let this rattle roll, and keep moving me on. Mr. Engineer, take that throttle in hand, this rattle's the fastest in the southern land. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. You're gonna ease my mind, put me there on time, and keep rolling on.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and in 1950, that was a huge, huge hit for Hank Snow. And I'll tell you what, 27 years later, he came back and did I'm Still Moving On. And in case you you somehow missed that, let me see if I can find that here for you. It might not be possible, but then again, yeah, well, here we go. I'll bet you this is it.
It was back, I remember, in 33, when the great Jimmy Rogers inspired me to start moving on, start rolling on. Said they can't do you wrong if you don't stay too long, so keep them moving on. You know the famous Jimmy, well, he's dead and gone, and my friend Hank Williams, he sung his song, but they both moved on. Yes, they're done long gone. But this old country train is still throwing its flames, still moving on.
Indeed, yeah. Hank Snow is a heck of an artist, he was. I think my favorite was actually late in his career in 1975, Hello, Love. All right, so Frank in Northlake, we're going to talk ionosphere layer here and more. So, Frank, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good, thanks. Oh, that was dynamite, thank you.
My pleasure. All right, so you want to know about layers, huh?
Yeah, from Earth going up, and eventually, I guess, the last stop is space, right?
Yeah, well, you're right, and where space starts, I mean, you know, like everything else, this is going to be controversial, so get ready. It's never simple. All right, one thing we're all in agreement are, it starts with the troposphere. Yeah, hence tropoducting. Troposphere is right from the surface to about 7.5 miles up, all right? And then after that is the stratosphere, about 7.5 miles to about 30 miles up. And we're pretty good at that. Mesosphere, do you want to call that its own layer? Well, I'd say that would be on top of it. Then you get to the thermosphere. But between...
Those are two that I didn't know about.
Well, the mesosphere is about 31 to 50 miles up. And interesting... interestingly, about the mesosphere, it's going to be the coldest place, period, because it gets warmer after that. So the top layer of the mesosphere is like the coldest place in the atmosphere, period, about -120 Fahrenheit. And, you know, it's very interesting. But then you get into the thermosphere, and you're probably saying, well, where's the ionosphere come in? Is it after the thermosphere? Is it part of it? Is it between the mesosphere and the thermosphere? Well, actually, it is part of the thermosphere, if you want. And the ionosphere is probably about, I'd say, you know, near the mesosphere layer into the early thermosphere layer. And it's interesting because it's not a single layer of itself. We'll get back to the ionosphere because you've got five layers within it. And a lot of people don't realize that. And
so
then...
the thermos is the four?
What?
Thermosphere is the fourth?
No, if you're taking notes, yeah, I'd say troposphere, stratosphere, mesosphere, thermosphere, and the ionosphere is in there in the thermosphere, and then you get to the exosphere, and that's as far as you go before you get to quote-unquote outer space. But the reality is there's no really clear boundary between where the Earth's atmosphere ends and outer space begins. What scientists use is something called the Kármán line. And that's about 62 miles above the surface. That's the transition point. And the reason for the Kármán line is because virtually all of the Earth's atmosphere is below it. And so so even though people will say, well, outer space is after the exosphere starts at 440 miles up. So the reality is outer space absolutely is within the thermosphere layer when you get to the Kármán line. But now let's go back to the, and by the way, this is why last night when you asked, I wasn't going to just rattle them off, because it's a controversial question. Now, of course, the ionosphere is what interests us because of its activity with regard to radio, and that's what we love about it. And I guess in the daytime, maybe hate about it, because the ionosphere, like I say, is actually five layers: D, E, and F, F1, and F2, and so it affects radio signals, all of it. Now, D. By the way, D does not exist at night. D only exists in the day. And it's an attenuator, so it is dampening signals. And part of that has to do what is the frequency of the signal. But in general, it's a real dampener. So that's the D layer. Now you get into the E region, the E layer, which is above the, and in terms of feet, this would be above it. So E layer probably is, I don't know, about 70, 80, they say kilometers, but miles up there. And the deal is, while the D layer is attenuating signals, the E layer is enhancing them. It's refracting them. And by refracting them, it's returning them to Earth. And anybody who DXs knows, you'll be driving along and you'll hear things in that you normally shouldn't hear, you'd never hear in the day, and all that kind of stuff. The air density is less than the D region, and so it has to do with how the electrons work and all that, and you don't really know, but you don't really care. But the deal is that the reflection is what makes that E layer so fascinating to us DXers. That's what we love. Now, the F region affects high frequency, and so this is not what we're going to be listening to on AM. And F is split into FF1 and F2, and it's an inflection point. And so it also is absolutely a reflector, but it's in the high frequency band, to say the least. It works the same way the E layer does, but it works on different frequencies. And because as you go higher, the density is less and less and less, fewer electrons and all that. So when you have fewer electrons, one of the positives for that, if you're trying to get radio signals, is that less energy is lost. I mentioned that the D layer attenuates signals. Well, the reason it does is because there's so many collisions that the signals are dampened. Well, by the time you get to the F layer, there's not as much activity there and less energy is lost. So what that means is that even low power signals can be heard at great distances. And so, the levels vary during the course of the day, and of course when the sun disappears, that changes the game entirely. And the F regions, F1, F2, are the highest points in the ionosphere. And so that's the ionosphere layer in a nutshell. But then after that, and after the thermosphere, obviously, you get into the exosphere. So now you know.
Well, I don't think I'll pass the test.
Well, I didn't give you any formulas. I mean, we could do that too. You want formula?
That was really funny.
Yeah, and also I didn't get into there's seasonal changes, there's geographical variations. I mean, there's a lot to this, but in general, you're dealing with electron density, and you're dealing with peaks in that, and you've got D, E, and F, basically, as I say, F1, 2, and 3. And so, now some people would also say you've got C, and that's below D, and yeah, to an extent that's true, but I want to ignore that for now. But for D, you're dealing with X-rays, Lyman. E is you're going to get some extreme ultraviolet activity, but now you're getting into F, and you absolutely are extreme ultraviolet, and you know that's where that is. So that's the deal. And so those are our layers. But like I say, you know, whether you want to consider the ionosphere a layer of itself or parts of other layers, well, that's an argument I won't have.
And you say that these are all within our atmosphere.
Yes, yes, but again, as I say, I give you the layers, and we talk about the exosphere being the last layer, which is 440 to 6,200 miles, but the reality is the Kármán line exists at 62 miles up, and 62 miles up puts it right at the beginning of the thermosphere. All right. So do you want to go with the Kármán layer and say that outer space is after that? Or do you want to go up to the exosphere and say, and by the way, Earth satellites are in the exosphere. So, I mean, things are there. When you look at the Aurora Borealis and notice that when you're driving through Canada at night and all that kind of stuff, where you're talking about where the International Space Station is, that's all thermosphere activity. So when you're talking about the mesosphere and you talk about, well, we have some meteors that are burning up before they get here, that's happening in the mesosphere. The stratosphere, what are you going to know most about the stratosphere? Well, if you're listening to the news and all that, the ozone layer is in the stratosphere. And, you know, so you can probably read about this, but most aviation is all troposphere, and that's right from the surface of the Earth to about 7.5 miles up, and really that's just about, I mean, there can be some planes flying in the stratosphere, and there have been, but for the most part, if you're getting on that commercial jet, you're talking about troposphere. And, of course, for those who like to DX, particularly on FM, tropoducting is fascinating in summer. So that's some stuff. So now you know.
Wow. And really, that's super interesting.
Yeah, well, now you know why I didn't just read them off last night or whatever, because it, you know, who are you talking to? And, you know, you decide. But for the rest of us, mostly all we care about is the ionosphere layer because, you know, we like how it affects radio.
Yes.
But you know, it all affects weather and you know, obviously a number of other factors that that influence the life on the planet. But you know, we care about radio,
like reception.
Well, reception's going to be ionosphere. That's right. It's all going to be ionosphere if you're talking about you know, reception. And the E layer was discovered by Marconi, actually. And when he discovered that, you know, the signals were bouncing. And I think Appleton was the guy who named it the E-layer, which stands for electrical. And so, you know, around it is DNF. All right. Happy to help. Now you know.
Well, hey, thank you.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks for researching that for me.
No, I didn't. Other than to look up F-layer stuff, the rest of it I know because, you know, I've been in that argument where we consider the ionosphere layer to be, you know. And, you know, and I've always said the Kármán line is outer space. I don't care what they say. And that's only 62 miles up.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, thanks very much, Rob.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Really appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye.
Okay.
All right. God bless. So now, apologies to Andrew. I'm so sorry, Andrew. We didn't even get into fun conspiracy theories, and I want to do that. Or Tom in Covington, who wants to talk about Ampex recorders, early Ampex recorders. Oh, 601, anybody? And James on the South Side and the many stories he sent. So here's the deal. 21 hours from now, we reconvene for a full three-hour show. And you can be part of it. So get ready to dial 888-876-5593. And until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls, and you especially for calling. We'll do it all again tomorrow night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.